hard to describe the sound of Brooklyn duo Rat-A-Tat. Maybe cosmic machine music with Eno-esque pastoralism, or Baroque virtuosity, perhaps. I've even read the words lovely promiscuous electronica, whatever that means. But that just might be the point. They all describe facets of Rat-A-Tat, which may seem a little abstract, but with the band's twitchy beats and organically textured pop, the result is, as one reviewer put it, intensely beautiful. I'm excited to welcome Evan Mast on Tape Relay, who joins us on the phone right now and alongside bandmate Mike Stroud makes up the outfit known as Rat-A-Tat. Hi Evan, you've recently released your third album, the aptly titled LP3, and what I love about the record and reading about it is that there are so many interpretations of your sound, and no two reviews have even thrown out the same combination of genres that best fit LP3. In fact, someone wrote that there's potential for the music to be and sound like anything, which I think is a compliment of the highest order, really. Does that make you chuckle slightly at this inability to pigeonhole you?
It's good in a way. Like, I feel like when it comes to songwriting, we can kind of do anything we like, and that keeps it interesting for us. I mean, it's good for us because I feel like we keep things pretty open-ended when it comes to writing music. It seems like we can kind of do whatever we like. We can make a dance song, or we can make a sort of classical sounding song, or a metal sounding song maybe. I don't know, we keep it pretty open-ended.
There are of course tracks like the opener Schiller, which evoke this sort of grand sense of the pioneering frontiers, and it could just be me and wish fulfillment of current obsessions, but again, that might be the very point. With that in mind, were you conscious of trying to evoke a particular atmosphere when making this album, or at least trying to differentiate it from the first two?
You know, we went into the studio with very little expectations about the record. We hadn't planned ahead of time that we were going to be recording. It was just sort of we stumbled across the studio at the right time, and we found ourselves with like 2 months of recording time in this place. And so we didn't really discuss it much. We just sort of went in and started writing songs, and it's kind of like when you start a song, it sort of just starts suggesting a direction, and we just did our best to follow kind of the suggestion of the song, and we didn't really plan it out ahead of time at all. We just sort of ran with whatever the moment was telling us. That sort of accounts for the variety of emotions and sounds on the record, whatever was happening that day.
Much has been made about the space in which you recorded this third album. Do you mind talking a little bit about it? What's it like, and what took you to upstate New York in the rather luscious Catskills?
Yeah, it's a studio called Old Soul. It's owned by a guy called The Wolf, and it was sort of an accident that we found it. We have a friend that's in a band called White Flight, who made a record about 2 years ago, and The Wolf called up White Flight because he heard the record, and he was like, you should make a record here, because he was really into his stuff. So we ended up going, it was like 3 hours outside of New York City where we live, so we ended up going up there to help White Flight on his record last August. And right about that time, the guy who owned the studio got offered a tour for like 2 months, so the house was going to be empty. And we just got along really well, so he offered to rent the place to us while I was gone. And yeah, we hadn't been planning on making a record or anything. It was sort of stumbled upon the situation, so we went for it. So we were there for like 40 days. Yeah, it's a really amazing place. It's this huge house that's supposedly haunted, like everyone that's recorded there has ghost stories. We didn't actually see any ghosts, but we've heard a lot of stories about ghosts showing up in Old Soul. But yeah, it was kind of strange. Like, we were there. It was just the two of us, Mike and I, like, recording for 40 days straight. And we were pretty much closed ourselves off, and we're just in the house, totally focused on music the whole time, and basically just kind of record from morning until late at night. And then we'd just, like, light up the barbecue and make a big dinner and hang out, and yeah, that was about it.
Were you exhausted after the 40 days of sort of such intense concentration?
No, not at all. It was really, just things started going really well right from the very beginning. Like the first day we were there, we made two songs, which is totally bizarre. Like for us, the last record, Classic, took us 2 years to make. When we were working, like each song we'd spend weeks on and really labor over it and worry about it, each detail, and rethink parts so much. And this time it was I think it was just the right place at the right time, and everything kind of lined up and crystallized. for us somehow. And yeah, we just, everything happened really quickly.
Mm.
We weren't exhausted at all. Like, by the end of it, we were just like dying to stay and keep working, but we were out of time, you know. But like, I remember the last day we were there, we started a song in the morning, and we, you know, we only had like half a day because we had to start cleaning up our equipment, and it was just like this race to finish the song because it was so like exciting to us, you know. And, yeah, I think we could have stayed another month and just kept going and made another record or something.
I read that the studio had a lot of vintage organs, you know, Mellotron, Wurlitzer and harpsichord. Did you do much to change their natural sound or even the way that they would normally be played?
I don't really know. I mean, it was our first experience recording with the real harpsichord and Mellotron, and a lot of the instruments there were totally new to us, so I don't totally know how the nets would be treated, but...
Yeah, I guess on a related note, I read a quote from you, Evan, where you said that in trying to stretch the limits of what you had, just playing weird instruments that you don't know how to play forces you to try new things. Would there ever be a fear that, you know, if you did master new instruments, that you'd lose that sense of wild experimentation or going beyond your natural limits?
I mean, I think it can kind of work both ways. Like the previous records, we were working with really limited instruments. We just had like one guitar and one bass and a keyboard, and in a way that was good at the time because it forced us to just really stretch the amount of sounds we could get out of those instruments. And you know, we were doing a lot of stuff like recording guitars backwards and putting keyboards through lots of different effects and just finding different sounds. This time around it was kind of, it was refreshing in that we didn't have to try so hard to get new sounds. I think what really kind of inspires us a lot of the time while we're writing is some kind of new sound, and this time it was like the new sounds were so readily available that we didn't have to labor over it as much. It was like we'd find something and get excited and just make a song really quickly.
So where would you like to take Ratatat in the next stage of music making? In knowing what your limits are now, what's going to be the new area for the two of you to explore, or is it too early to project that far?
I think for now we should just focus on touring, and it's good to have like a long break between writing songs, I think. So I'm looking forward to just kind of enjoying the traveling and touring for now. And then, yeah, we'll try and find another situation next time around that'll inspire us, I guess. But I'm totally open to this. I always want to try something totally new. So the more different the next record sounds, the more excited I'll be about it.
I do like the cheeky note that was on the B-side to the 7-inch single for Schiller, where you said song is actually from an album that has yet to be released.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have that record. That record's almost done.
Oh, really? So that is on its way.
Yeah, that record's really weird. We haven't mixed it yet, but it's all tracked. So, yeah, that should be, I don't know. We want to put that out pretty soon.
Well, that's very exciting. Well, Evan Mast, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. I hope you return to Australia real soon.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We're going to end with this track, Imperials, which has a very delightful underwater feel from the album LP3. This is Ratatat on Tape Relay.